Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Well, good afternoon. As you can tell by the voice, this is not Pastor John Lutz today. He is out this afternoon. He had some things that they needed to take care of. And this is Pastor Al Davis sitting in for him. And of course, I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Pastor Lutz is the pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio. And so he graciously has allowed me to sit in for him once again. And I appreciate that. And I'm thankful for it. And of course, we have a program coming up at 1:30. It's called Live with Pastor Al, and that's the program I'm usually on. And of course, I'm here every Friday afternoon following Pastor Lutz at 1:30, and then also every Sunday night from 10 o'clock until midnight each Sunday night with Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church located in Richfield, Ohio. And you can find out more about me and about our church by going to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And of course, I hope you'll stay tuned for our program coming up at 1:30, just to give a little bit of advertisement. Some of our listeners are familiar with William Federer. He has written a tremendous number of books dealing with our Christian heritage here in the United States, and also not just the United States, but worldwide, the influence of Christianity on the world. And he has been on with me in our program before, and he is going to be on with me today at 1:30. We're going to be talking about the label Christian nationalism, and you have no doubt heard that term, and it is a term that is being used in a negative way to describe Christians who are trying to make a difference in the world around them, and I think also to try to silence Christians. So I hope you'll stay tuned at 1:30 for that program. And then, of course, at 2 o'clock, Pastor Andrew Rusnacko of the Euclid Bible Baptist Temple will be joining us as well. And he always has a tremendous message. I always kind of chuckle because when you're in Bible school and you're going over the rudiments of how to put together a message and everything, it's all, you know, the old adage was 3 points in a poem. Well, Pastor Rusnacko, he'll come on, he'll say, I've got 10 things to tell you about, and he gets through all 10 of them, and then always it's good, it's always interesting, and I just kind of chuckle. I'm glad he didn't listen to the teachers in Bible school that said, only 3 points. I remember one guy said, only 1 point. Tell people what your point's going to be, tell them your point, and then tell them what your point was that you said. But I like Pastor Rusnacko when he comes on and says, I got 9 things that I want to show you from this passage, or I got a dozen things, whatever it is. He goes through them all, and it's always informative and encouraging, and I hope you'll stay tuned for that. That's at 2 o'clock right here on this station. Pastor Lutz called this hour and a half the Baptist Trifecta with Pastor Lutz at 1, myself, Pastor Al Davis at 1:30, and Pastor Andrew Rusnacko at 2 o'clock. So I hope you stay tuned for them. However, right now, I'm going to get into something here a little bit I just thought I'd share with you here today, and that is an article that I just recently did for our church newsletter, and it's called Behold the Fig Tree. And I found this kind of interesting looking at this one particular passage, and so we'll take a look at that here today. But the text that we're going to go to is Mark chapter 11, and we're going to start in Mark chapter 11. And I'll just read a few verses here, and then I'll tell you what's happening here. And I think there's something very unusual that a lot of times we miss looking at this incident about the fig tree in Mark chapter 11 that I think has some prophetic significance for the day in which we live. So this is Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 11. It says, "And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked around about upon all things, and now at the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now, I'm going to skip ahead here a little bit further here to verse number 20. And it says, And in the morning, so it would be the next day, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto him, Have faith in God. And he goes on to give a lesson on faith there. But I want to talk about the fig tree here. And this is interesting, I think, because when you catch the setting here, Jesus had just been in Jerusalem. He had arrived, and we celebrate Palm Sunday back just recently, a few weeks back, and we had the entry of Jerusalem, or Jesus into Jerusalem, and of course the people crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And when you're reading Mark's gospel here, you realize that he went in, as I read in verse 11, and he looked around and then he left. And it's the next day when he comes back that he actually drives out the money changers and all those sorts of things and rebukes them for making the house of God a den of thieves, basically. And so when you go through this, you realize that he had looked around in Jerusalem. And then he returns back to Bethany. Of course, that's where he was spending the night, and he had friends there, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Remember Lazarus? That's the man that Jesus had previously risen from the dead, or raised from the dead. And it's a small village located on the southeastern slope of the Mount of Olives. It's located about 2 miles out of Jerusalem. And the name Bethany, Beth has to do with house of, and so it's literally the house of dates. There's a lot of date palms growing in the area. And so they get up the next morning, and they're heading back to Jerusalem. Like I said, it's about 2 miles, so about halfway along, about 20 minutes or so walking, they were in the vicinity of another village called Bethphage, which, again, this is the house of dates, or I'm sorry, a house of figs, because there are a lot of fig trees in the area. And when they got into the area of Bethphage, they spotted a fig tree growing, which wasn't unusual. But as they looked at the fig tree, they saw the leaves on it, and as it said here in Mark 11, verse 13, and seeing a fig tree far off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. But when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Now, this becomes a curious statement. Jesus, as God in the flesh, the Bible says, if haply, and haply basically is an old form of basically saying, if by chance. And hap is a root there that we find in many words like happenstance and happen and happy, and so hapless, and all those sorts of words. And so haply basically means if by chance, possibly. And so if by chance or possibly might find some ripe figs on it. And of course you'd think, well, wait, he's Jesus, he's God in the flesh. How would he not know whether or not there's figs on it? My contention is, as Jesus, God in the flesh, he absolutely knew that there were no fruits on the tree that were ripe. And in fact, no fruit at all, because it says when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. And so I don't think Jesus was surprised. I think he knew this. Why is this in the Bible? Why is this recorded for us? And I believe the reason it's here, the reason it's recorded for us and preserved in the Bible, in the King James Bible for us, is because all things, all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable, as Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So this is here for a reason, and it's not here by chance or by accident. So Jesus, as God in the flesh, would not have been surprised. Although the disciples would not have known whether or not there were fruits on the tree. And you say, well, but it says, for the time of figs was not yet. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that there would be no figs or you wouldn't expect figs on there. That's an erroneous thought. I've thought that myself. But when I studied it out, I came to the realization that actually this is around just before Passover. And there very likely could have been figs on the trees just before Passover, because typically the time of harvesting the figs would have been right after Passover. Now, I have to interject something here. Figs are kind of an interesting tree. They bear two crops, oftentimes some of them do. And so the figs here that Jesus would have been looking at would have had an early crop in the spring that was harvested after Passover, shortly after Passover. And then they would have had a summer crop. The early crop grows on the old growth from the previous year. And the figs begin to form before the leaves come. And then the leaves, of course, happen. And then the second crop occurs later on the new growth, the twigs that begin growing in the spring, and that's where the second crop comes in. And so the time for harvesting the first crop was not yet. So why would Jesus curse the tree? Well, that's a good question. Let's consider a few more things here with this. Fig trees are kind of interesting. They typically do not bear fruit until they're about 3 or 4 years old. And then when they begin bearing fruit, they can be kind of temperamental. If you had too much or too little water, if you had a sudden cold snap, too much nitrogen in the soil, any of those things and other things can cause them to either stop bearing or even cast their fruits before they ripen. So it wouldn't be too unusual to find a fig tree, especially in the first crop of fruits, to have cast the fruit, and you could find it leafed out and have barren branches, no figs on them. And the other thing that we need to remember with the fig tree is that in the Bible, there's a couple of different things that represent Israel. One of them is the vine, and that represents Israel spiritually. Another one is the fig tree, and that represents Israel as a nation. And this is where I think we begin to understand and unlock what God has for us to learn from this passage. As we look at this and think of Israel as a nation, the fig tree symbolizing Israel as a nation, it begins to unlock what's going here. Think about this. Jesus had just spent about 3.5 years in his earthly ministry trying to tell the people of Israel, the Jewish people, who he was and representing himself as the Messiah. And he has come 3.5 years. He's getting ready to be sacrificed on the cross. The death, burial, and resurrection is going to be taking place within a few days of this event. And remember, Matt in Mark, in Mark 11, verse 11, it said that he had entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And it says, and when he had looked round about upon all things, I think that's key to understanding this. Jesus went into Israel, into the heart of the Jewish nation, into the temple itself, the center of the Jewish nation and the Jewish faith, the Jewish identity. And he looked around and he knew it was not yet time for the harvest. That's going to come later when Jesus returns at the end of the tribulation in glory and sets up his kingdom on earth. But he knew it wasn't yet time. But I think the fig tree shows us it would have been nice if there had been some spiritual fruit evident, even though Jesus knew that there wasn't. And so it's kind of a picture of Jesus going in, if haply he might find fruit in Israel, in Jerusalem, but he found none. He didn't find the nation bearing fruit just like the fig tree bore no fruit. And even though it wasn't yet time for Israel to bear fruit, but we find that Jesus cursed the fig tree and it withered away. And we see a similar thing happen to Israel. Because they reject Christ, they crucify him, and he's refused. The leaders say, his blood be upon us and our children. And they said, we have no king but Caesar. They rejected Christ. Well, what happened to Israel after this? Well, Israel, like the fig tree, soon withered away and ceased to be a nation. Rome destroyed Jerusalem and the temple in the year 70 AD and then drove the Jews out of the land in 135 AD, renaming Judea as Palestinia or Philistia. It was actually Philistia and anglicized into Palestinia. If you look in your King James Bible, Philistia or Philistines and Palestinia or Palestine is the exact same word. Now, let me just interject something here. They have no bearing on the people in Gaza that call themselves Palestinians today. The people in Gaza who call themselves Palestinians today are Arabs, and they're descendants of Abraham, and like the Jews, are descendants of Abraham, and of course, Abraham is a descendant of Shem, the son of Noah. The Philistines of the Bible, if you remember Goliath the Philistine, and Israel is fighting with the Philistines periodically, the Philistines inhabited an area which corresponds roughly to the Gaza Strip today, and they were the enemies of Israel, but they were not descendants of Abraham. They were not descendants of Shem. They were descendants of Ham. They were a completely different group of people called the Sea Peoples who had come, I believe they were in the Nile Delta for a while, and then they migrated up along the coast up into the area of the Gaza Strip today. And when Rome eliminated or pushed the Jews out of the land in 135, they renamed it Palestinia or Philistia as an insult to the Jewish people by resurrecting the name of their ancient enemies. Well, Palestinia or Palestine became what it was known as, and eventually anybody that lived there, whether you were Jew or Arab or something else entirely, you were known as a Palestinian. In fact, up until the 1960s, the Palestinian term was used for a lot of people. The Jerusalem Post originally was the Palestine Post, And the Jews were called Palestinians. If you were Arab, you were a Palestinian. If you were Persian, you were a Palestinian. You lived in Palestine, just like if you live in America, you're an American, or if you live in Canada, you're a Canadian. And then the Romans also, in addition to renaming Judea as Palestinia, they renamed Jerusalem as Aulia Capitolina. And so Israel, from that point on, really bore no fruit. And of course, we move into the church age, as some call it. Better term is really the dispensation of grace. And so we see something happening here. In Mark chapter 13, a little bit later, Jesus begins to give some examples of what's going to happen in the last days. And he says, now learn, in Mark 13, starting in verse 28 through 30, now learn a parable of the fig tree. So we're back to the fig tree, and I think this is symbolic because it follows from what we just looked at in Mark chapter 11. When her branch is yet tender, put it forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Matthew and Luke also record the same prophecy in their Gospels, and in all three cases, the parable follows a prophetic outline of the last days, detailing the events of the tribulation and the triumphant return of Christ, Jesus Christ, at its conclusion. In each case, the fig tree is described as leafing out in the spring with the promise of summer being near at hand. And they also, all three of them, note that The generation that sees the fig tree putting forth leaves would also see the completion of the events leading up to the establishment of the millennial kingdom, with Jesus Christ reigning over the whole world from Jerusalem. Well, this corresponds to Daniel's prophecy in Daniel chapter 9 of 70 weeks of years, and the last seven being the tribulation. And Daniel tells us that the purpose of this 70 weeks and ultimately the last seven, in verses 24 and 27, is that it's to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. In other words, to deal with Israel's sin and establish the millennial kingdom. Now, bringing all these things together, these prophecies, along with the cursing of the fig tree, I think we can begin to understand. Jesus spent 3.5 years ministering to Israel and would have reasonably expected the nation to bear some early fruit. Instead, Israel rejected Jesus and crucified him, so like the fig tree which bore no early fruit, Israel was likewise cut off and died, nation-wise. Not as a people, but as a nation. However, unlike the fig tree, Israel is destined to live again in the latter days, where it will have opportunity to bear the latter summer fruit as they finally embrace Jesus Christ as their Messiah and King, and then ushering in the millennial kingdom. This, of course, leads to the question of when these prophecies will be fulfilled. Well, we don't know the exact date and time, but Luke chapter 21 and verses 29 through 32, I think, is instrumental. And it's talking about the parable of the fig tree, and he adds this. He says, behold the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer's now nigh at hand. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. And verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Well, on May 14th, Israel became a nation again after the Jews being cast out in 135. The fig tree, which was dead, all intents and purposes, shot forth its leaves after being dead for nearly 2,000 years. The bare branches of the fig tree began to shoot forth leaves, promising fruit in the summer. And how about some other ones? Around the other trees, around Israel, Lebanon, represented by the cedars of Lebanon, became a sovereign nation on November 22, 1943. Syria, represented by the oaks of Bashan, became sovereign nation on October 24, 1945. And there's other nations around Israel that became sovereign nations, independent nations, in the same general time frame. Egypt in 1946, Jordan in 1922, Iraq in 1932, Saudi Arabia in 1932. In other words, not just the fig tree, which represents Israel, but all the trees in the Middle East appear to put forth their leaves and become independent sovereign nations during the early to mid-1900s. Consequently, the generation that saw these events occur, according to the words of Jesus Christ, shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. All be fulfilled means exactly that. It means the tribulation passing, the 7 years of the tribulation, Israel's sin being dealt with, the Jewish people accepting Jesus as their Messiah, and the millennial kingdom with Jesus Christ on the throne beginning. But we don't know what's meant by a generation. Some suggested 40 years. Others suggested 70 to 80 years. Well, we're not in the millennial kingdom right now, nor has the tribulation begun. So I think we can rule out all of those ideas. And remember, whatever the case is, we've got to account for the 7 years of the tribulation period. So the 40 years, 70 years, 80 years, all that's ruled out. Simplest explanation, perhaps, is the best. It would seem that Jesus is saying that at least some of the people who are alive to see Israel and the surrounding nations become sovereign nations would be alive to see the millennial kingdom established as well. Well, you know what that means. If you haven't noticed, that generation that saw those things isn't getting any younger. They're getting older every day. You know, you think about that, it might be wise to make sure your heart's right with God and that you've got your reservations in order that you can have a place in God's coming kingdom. The window to do so is quickly closing. Do you know Christ as your Savior? I hope you do. I hope you know Christ as your Savior, because the only way to get into that kingdom is to put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And when Jesus saves you, he adopts you into the family of God, and you'll have a reservation in that heavenly kingdom. And you'll be there. And when Israel bears its fruit in the second harvest, in the summer, you'll be a part of that. Well, I hope you're saved. I hope you know the Lord. Stay tuned. And I hope you'll join us for the next program coming up in a few minutes. God bless.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. Or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.